Welcome to Tardi Mecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rena Foreman, and today we will be studying Yecheskel, Perek 10, Chapter 9. In the last perek, we joined Yecheskel as a spirit plucked him out of Bavel, taking him on a virtual tour of Yerushalayim. As part of this tour, we joined the Navi as he saw visions of the desecration of the Mikdash in the form of idols and idol worship. These actions caused God to exit his home. They left no room for God's Shechina anymore in the Mikdash. But although God leaves this building that men have built for him, the Shekhinah still does not depart the world entirely. The Shekhinah becomes mobile, so to say, in the form of the Merkava, a chariot, as we saw in the beginning of the Sefer in Perek Aleph, Chapter 1. In line with this, Chazal tell us the Shekhinah migrated out of the city of Yerushalayim in 10 stages. Rashi, referencing this Chazal, tells us that the first of those stages is expressed in Pasuk Gimel of our Perek, where we see the Kavod of Hashem leave the Kruv and move out of the threshold of the house of God. Ukavod Elokei Yisrael na'ala me'al Kruv asher hayalav el miftan habayit. Perek Tet indeed describes this as the initial stage of God leaving the Mikdash. So now let's go to the Pesukim in a little more detail. The Perek begins with a great big sound. V'yikra ba'oznai kol gadol. The text indicates that the kol gadol emanates from God. In the Navi's vision, God's loud voice instructs six appointed city officers of Yerushalayim, referred to as Kudot Ha'ir, to gather. Who exactly are these people? We actually don't know much about them. Their identities are mysterious. They could be people, could be angels. We aren't told. But in the vision, these men are instructed by Hashem to each come prepared with their klei mashchit, instruments of destruction. A frightening vision, to be sure. One might imagine Kudot Ha'ir are there to bring security to the city, but that's in normal times. These aren't normal times. Their roles are, tragically, being reversed. But there seems to be another layer to this vision. You see it if you ponder that phrase for a moment, kol gadol. Where is that phrase familiar from? Where else did God issue a command in a loud voice? It was at the revelation of Har Sinai. In Devarim Perek Hei, Pasuk Yud Chet, we see, et devarim ha'ele, Diber Hashem el kol ka'achem bahar, mitoch ha'esh hanan v'arevel, kol gadol v'lo yasaf. When God gives over the commands from inside the fire, the voice of God is described as a kol gadol. Why would Yecheskel be referencing this moment of revelation? Seemingly, Yecheskel is giving a reason for the destruction that is about to come. It comes because of the failure of the people to adhere to God's commands, the very commands spelled out in a loud voice, a kol gadol at Har Sinai. What were those commands at Har Sinai? They were, of course, Anochi Hashem, followed by don't worship idols. And the people in Yecheskel's time betrayed that covenant. The text in Yecheskel goes on to pick up on this motif of kol gadol another time. It says, even if the people now call out in a kol gadol in a loud voice to be saved from the Babylonians, God will not listen to them. V'karu ba'oznai kol gadol v'lo eshma otam. The people have disregarded Hashem's kol gadol, and now Hashem will not listen to theirs. So back to the kol gadol in our psukim. This loud voice apparently gets the attention of the six mysterious men we mentioned earlier, the Pkudot Ha'ir. They appear from the north-facing gate, ready and able, with their instruments of destruction, klei mapatzot, in their hands. And in the vision, they are joined by another mysterious man, who will become the center of the action. He is referred to as an Ish Levush Habadim, a man wearing linen, and is carrying a ledger at his waist. These men in the vision assemble near the Mizbeach HaNechoshet, the copper altar which is situated in the outer courtyard of the Mikdash. At that point, God instructs the leader of these men, the Ish Levush Habadim, to pass through the city and mark the foreheads of certain people. Avor b'toch ha'ir, b'toch Yerushalayim, v'hidvita tav al mischot ha'anashim, ha'nenakim v'ha'nenachim. According to the text, what sets these people apart, the people who get the mark on their forehead, is that they are people who are described as nenachim v'nenakim, people who sigh in sorrow about the toivot in the Mikdash. These are people, we hear, who are to survive the impending destruction. They are being marked to signify they're being excluded from the work of the demolition men, Kudot Ha'ir. Back to the vision. After the Ish Levush Habadim marks the foreheads of those to be saved, the six men with fearful tools descend upon the Mikdash. That is where they are told to begin their destructive acts, B'Mikdashi Tachelu. In fact, it's the Zekinim that they start with. According to Matthias David, these are the same Zakenim who were performing the Tolivah of bringing Ketoret to false gods in the last parak. The vision then progresses in its horror. Yechezkel witnesses corpses being thrown out of the city gates. At this point, Yechezkel pleads with God to stop, not to destroy the remainder of the inhabitants of Israel. But God does not honor that request. He explains that the city is too far gone to be saved. The parak ends with the mysterious Ish Levush HaBadim reporting to God that he has done as he was commanded. Asiti kachol asher tzivitani. He claims to have carried out God's instructions. So let's look at this vision a little more closely. Who is this man that has carried out God's instructions to destroy the city of Yerushalayim? What do we know about him? One of the only things we know about him is how he is dressed. He is described by his clothing, levush bad. Well, who does that remind us of? Someone else in the Torah is described as wearing clothing made of bad. That person is the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. The description of the Kohen Gadol appears in Parashat Achrimot, in Vayikra, Perek Tet Zayin, Pasuk Gimel. Ketonet bad kodesh yilbash, umlichnasei bad yiyu al besaro. He would wear a tunic made of bad, linen, and pants made of bad, should be worn against his skin. The context of this pasuk is Yom Kippur. It is during this special avodah on Yom Kippur that the Kohen wears clothes of bad. He wears these while he performs a service, atoning for the sins of the nation. It almost seems that in Yechezkel's vision, this Kohen Gadol, the high priest, has been transplanted from Sefer Vayikra somehow into a vision involving an opposite mission from that of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. The man wearing bad is now charged with destroying the very temple in which the Kohen Gadol carries out the Avodah, atoning for the nation. Tragically, rather than act as agent of atonement, the transplanted, transcendent version of the Kohen Gadol is acting as agent of destruction. Let's now examine something else connected to this mysterious man who is Levush Badim, this mysterious man of the cloth. Remember he was supposed to mark the foreheads of those who would survive? Well, what does that remind you of earlier in the Torah? Doesn't it remind you of a crucial moment back in Sefer Shmot? Back in Egypt, a mark was also drawn to mark those who were to be spared. The blood of a sheep was painted around the doorposts of the houses of those that would be passed over and saved from destruction. Here too, in Yechezkel, those that are marked escaped. The text of Yechezkel seems to want us to see a connection to the night the Jews went free in Mitzrayim. And the feeling that this is so is confirmed by something else, right in the same pasuk in Yechezkel that we've been discussing. Vayomer Hashem Elav, Avor B'toch Ha'ir, B'toch Yerushalayim, V'itvita Tal al Mitzchot Ha'anashim, Ha'ne'enachim V'ha'ne'enakim, al Kol Ha'tayvot Ha'nasot B'tocha. The people to be saved are those who are described as Ne'enachim V'ne'enakim, al Kol Ha'tayvot, those who sigh and feel pain regarding the Tayvot, the Avodah Zarah, being performed in the Mikdash. These are the ones that will be saved. That is, their mere feeling of pain and sorrow is enough to save them. They don't actually need to do anything to change society. All they need to do is sigh and moan to mark their sorrow regarding the idolatry around them. Sure enough, we meet people like this, Ne'enachim and Ne'enakim, those who sigh and are oppressed, back in the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim as well. The Jews who are saved the night they all go free are also Ne'enachim and Ne'enakim, just like the people we meet in Yechezkel. Vayamat Melech Mitzrayim, the king of Mitzrayim dies. Vayanchu b'nei Yisrael min ha'avodah. B'nei Yisrael sigh from the hard work. Vayizaku, they cry out. Batal shavatam el Elokim min ha'avodah. The cries go up to heaven, to God, because of the work. Vayishma Elokim et nakatam. And then God hears their naka, their moans, their oppression. Vayar Elokim et b'nei Yisrael vayeda Elokim. God listens to this. So the links in our parak in Yechezkel, back to Yetziat Mitzrayim, are starting to add up. First, marks to differentiate those that would be saved. Then, Ne'enachim and Ne'enakim. And now, what about this? I'm quoting now from Yechezkel, Pasuk Vav. Zakein, Bachur, Betula, Betafen, Nashim, Targul, Mashchit. Old and young, man and maiden, child and woman, killed to destroy. It is a verse full of horror, but there, at the end of that phrase, that word Mashchit, what does it remind you of back in the story of Mitzrayim? It is the Mashchit, the destroyer, who comes to the Egyptian households in the 10th plague in Makkah Bechorot. The destroyer who at that time God will not allow into the homes of Israel. In the words of the Pasuk, Vaya adam lachem la'ot ala batim asher atem sham, ra'iti et hadam ufasachti alechem, lo yabachem negev l'mashchit bakuti b'aretz Mitzrayim. And let's talk about who is being destroyed in each story. In both cases, it is the entire gamut of society. In Mitzrayim, God says he will strike all Bechorot, no matter who they are, me'adam ba'ad be'ima, from man to animal. In Yechezkel, All are also stricken. Zakein Bahur Wutula, Vitaf, Venashim, elders, youngsters, women, children. The links between the stories feel pretty convincing. So let's ask, what does the Navi want us to understand from these connections? Just as we notice an inverse connection between the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur and the mysterious Ish Levush HaBadim, we seem to be seeing an inverse connection between the actions of that same Ish Levush HaBadim and the actions of the Mashchit destroyer during Egypt's 10th plague. Because the destruction of the 10th plague helped birth Bnei Israel as a new people on their way out of the land. And in Yechezkel, we pretty much see the reverse. A nation is on its way out of Israel. Its national fabric is crumbling as it is being scattered and sent to exile. In Mitzrayim, the first step of God's glorious salvation of the people came when God first responded to the people's sigh under their crushing burden of the Avodat Perech, the forced labor in Mitzrayim. God heard the sighs of the Anakim and Anachim and saved them. But now, here in Yechezkel, we are at the other side of things. Destruction is about to come because of the self-inflicted wounds of Avodah Zarah. The people are not enslaved by Egyptians. They are serving foreign masters, other gods they needlessly imposed upon themselves. So destruction will come. And yet, there's a glimmer of hope because some will be saved. The Nanachim and Nanakim, those who sigh, those who find Avodah Zarah unbearable, like the Avodah Perech of old, God will hear those sighs, and these people will escape the destruction. Their children will live on to reconstitute the nation and eventually return to Israel. I would like to share a bit of a Motzei Yom Kippur epilogue with you. Davening on Yom Kippur, I noticed a few things in the davening that borrow from Yechezkel. Here's one. Guess who makes an appearance in the Yom Kippur davening? The Ish Levush HaBadim. He appears in the tefillah about Hashem's inexplicable ways, in the poems during Musaf that recall Asar HaRugei Malchut, the 10 great sages mercilessly executed by the Romans in the era of King Hadrian. Chalu v'zau kulamo, they're all shaken. Al Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol Matnoi Nemo, they've set their eyes on Rabbi Yishmael to go up to heaven. Laskirat Hashem la'lo la'donemo, la'dad im yatzah ha'gzera me'ed alokimo, if the gzera actually came from God. Tihar Rabbi Yishmael atzmo, v'yizkirat Hashem b'sifludim. Rabbi Yishmael purifies himself, v'alal marom, goes up to heaven. V'sha'al me'ed ha'ish levush ha'badim, he asks the levush ha'badim, v'namlo, levush ha'badim whispers to him, kablo alechem tzadikim v'yedidim, take this upon yourselves. Kishamati machoya pargo kibizoda tamil kadim. Yarad vigilas avirav marmar el. Vitziva hablial hargain bechoach. Vila el. He's told that this is the decree. Rabbi Shmuel goes on to tell his counterparts. And the Roman kills him. We have a Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Shmuel, purifying himself to go to heaven to ask whether the destructive decree was ordained by God or not. And who does this Kohen Gadol happen to consult with when he gets to heaven? None other than another man of Bad, another linen donning figure, the Ish Levush HaBadim from our Perek. And in character with the role of the Levush HaBadim from our Perek, this celestial man of the cloth that Rabbi Shmuel meets in heaven, he whispers to his counterpart, the earthly Evan, the earthly man of the cloth, Yishmael the Kohen Gadol, that this is indeed ordained by God. V'sha'al ma'et ha'ish Levush HaBadim, v'nam lo, kablu alechem tzadikim v'yedidim, ki shamati ma'achareha pargod, ki bezod atem nil kadim. The Levush HaBadim tells him that he gathered this inside information from behind the curtain, suggestive, perhaps, of the heavenly parochet that divides the holiest place in the Mikdash, where God resides, from everywhere else in the building. This discovery was racing in my mind last night, so naturally, I shared it at our breakfast meal after Yom Kippur. My son-in-law Yosef responded by citing a Gemara in Brachos that references the same Rabbi Yishmael of the Kohen Gadol. The Gemara casts a poignant light on things. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, Pamacha nechnasti lahaktir ktoret lifnai lifnim, v'ra'iti ach tri'el, ka Hashem tzvako, shil yoshev al kisei ram v'nisa. While bringing ktoret on Yom Kippur in the Holy of Holies, Rabbi Shmuel the Kohen Gadol, presumably the same Kohen Gadol referenced by the poet, encounters an angel through which he has an audience with Hashem himself. V'amarli, Yishmael b'ni barachini, Hashem asks him for a bracha, and Rabbi Shmuel obliges. The Gemara concludes that you see from here that one should look favorably upon anyone's bracha, even that of a hedyot. If it's not demeaning for God to get a bracha from a mere human, we should eagerly accept a bracha from any other human, even those lower in station than ourselves. But here is the mysterious part. Let's look at the bracha itself that Rabbi Yishmael gives Hashem. Yihi ratzon lofanecha shirbeshu rachamecha ekascha. V'yigol rachamecha al midotecha, mitzit naheg impa nechab midat harachamim, v'tikhanes lahem lifni mishores hadin. The bracha is that his rachamim should take over his angel, that he should act with rachamim with his earthly children. Seemingly, it's not a coincidence that the poet references this very same Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol that the Gemara speaks of. It is almost as if the poet is sorrowfully commenting on the Gemara. For the unfortunate reality was that Rabbi Shmuel's prayer, as given by the Gemara, didn't pan out as Rabbi Shmuel would have hoped. Instead, fate would have it that there would be a second time Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol would ascend on high to find out the intentions of heaven. There, he would meet a celestial version of himself, another Ish Levush HaBadim. This heavenly man, the Ish Levush HaBadim of Yecheskel, is, of course, the leader of the destroyers. And tragically, the celestial Ish Levush HaBadim would lovingly but firmly tell Rabbi Shmuel that heaven has decreed he is to die, and he must serenely accept that fate. The piyut leaves us with the searing truth that our prayers are not always answered in the ways we would wish, and Yecheskel's Ish Levush HaBadim becomes the vehicle through which the poet conveys that message. Thank you for studying together, Leilui Nishmat Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat Alexander.